Okay, we're talking to Buzz Bowman live and direct from Florence, South Carolina. He's a former WTMA DJ on with CJ in the early 80s. Buzz, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome, John. Thanks for honoring me with the opportunity to talk with you about all this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a very important of WTMA's history and Charleston radio history, as a matter of fact, too, back in the old WCSC days. And I think you also teamed up with CJ at Hot 94 for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did. He had gone into ownership. He owned several radio stations at his own company for a while, and Hot 94 was one. And I had been working in Philadelphia and went to Wilmington and programmed a station for him there, and then moved back to Charleston, where they've been Hot 94.
All right, let's talk about where you were before you came to Charleston. Was WCSC your first gig here in town?
Yes, it was, actually, WCSC. Before that, I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that's pretty much where my broadcasting career had started, being originally from Pennsylvania, and moved down to Charleston. I loved the city as soon as I got there. And I've always liked the coast to begin with, but once I saw Charleston and all the historic sites, I just fell in love with the place. And WCSC and a fellow named Brother Dave, he was the program director at the time, hired me as a morning man for WCSC.
And how long were you at WCSC?
I guess I was there for like 2.5 or 3 years. And then I got a wild hair one day. It was the first time I paid off all my bills since I'd gotten out of the Navy. And I decided I wanted to go backpacking. So I asked for a leave of absence. And the owners at the time said, no, we can't do that. So I resigned at that point and bought a backpack and some hiking shoes. And a friend of mine and myself took off. And we backpacked. We walked, basically, and hitchhiked to Key West, Florida, where we stayed in a campground for a while, and then I found an old friend from the Navy, and we slept in his backyard for a while. Anyways, it was pretty wild. When I came back to Charleston, I needed to file my income tax returns because I was pretty much solidly broke at that point. And so I went back to WCSC to let them know where I was so I could receive my tax information. And by that point, C.J. Jones had become the general manager of the radio division for WCSC Incorporated, which was owned by the Rivers family. And CJ asked me what I was doing, if I would like to come back to work, if I could use a job. And I said, why, sure. So I came back to work, working for him. He was doing mornings. I was doing middays. And Bob Casey was doing afternoon drive at that point. I can't remember all the folks on the station, but we sure had a heck of a staff. Anyways, I guess about 2 years I did middays. And then I went to CJ one day and said, look, I think the market is ripe for a two-man morning show. And he said, really? Who'd you have in mind? I said, myself and Jim Vann. Jim Vann was the program director and operations manager for the FM station, WXTC, which belonged to WCSC at that time. He was a little set back. He said, well, what about you and me? And I kind of hesitated and said, you and me? I don't think that'll ever work. And then he offered me a pay raise. I said, okay, I'll give it a try.
Now, why didn't you think it would work?
Well, CJ had a way about him. He was a very dominant personality, a very strong personality, very strong-willed, knew exactly what he wanted and had to be done CJ's way or hit the highway. I was, at that point in my life, not necessarily into that type of structure. I was living at the beach, having a great time, great tan, playing volleyball every afternoon. I mean, it was the life of Riley for me. And suddenly, my work, my radio profession became a real business.
So you had to really pay attention and do things right, huh?
Oh, yeah. I had to get rid of my shorts. I had to get rid of my flip-flops. I had to get suits and ties and all kinds of great stuff. Actually, a very funny event took place because I had a beard, a big, thick, bushy beard. CJ went and spent a whole bunch of WCSC's money on a billboard campaign, putting our faces all over town. And after the billboards had been done, but before they officially went up, I went and shaved my beard off.
Uh-oh.
And CJ went ballistic, obviously, and would not permit me to be seen in public until I grew my beard back. it was just a wild time. It was pretty wild.
So what was the CJ and Buzz show like on WCSE?
We did a lot of quick bits. I specialized in quick zinger liners, you know, and subscribing to all the joke services I could find. We structured a lot of stuff. We stole ideas from other successful radio stations to make ours work. And I'm not proud of it, but I did it. And we had a good show. It was fun to listen to. It was always zany. We had characters that made appearances. It was just a good time. We did a lot of public service stuff when folks were in need. When somebody on John's Island's home burned down, we would rally around that family and get donations put together. And that's just the kind of morning show we were doing. We were very involved in the community. We had a whole bunch of fun and had a lot of respect for some reason. People really liked us.
Now, it's about this time the WCSE started putting the heat on WTMA.
Yes, and good old Booby Nash was programming, as I remember it, over at WTMA, who had been dominant in the market for a long, long, long time. It was CJ's mission with WCSE to dethrone WTMA. We became known as the 90-Day Wonders. We sunk a whole bunch of cash into a big cash promotion. And within 90 days, went from like number 8 or 9 in the market to number 1 and beat the tar out of WTMA.
Do you think it was just because of that promotion and the money you spent? Or do you think that WCSE was doing things better from a programming standpoint than TMA?
Definitely. We were doing it. I hate to keep lauding CJ, but he really is a remarkable man. He had a great deal of programming knowledge, and he and Bob Casey, who was the actual program director at the time working for CJ, put together quite a really strong, powerful, solid radio station. We had key personalities in the right places. We had all the entities that we needed. We had the traffic. We had good old Randy Scott in the airplane flying overhead and doing traffic reports and just constant branding of the radio station. They did a remarkable job. I was constantly amazed at what was taking place and how I was being promoted because I actually had no say in any of that.
So working with CJ had its ups and downs, huh?
Oh, yeah. CJ is a genuinely nice, nice fella. But when it comes to business, stand back.
Now, when did you guys leave WCSE?
Well, CJ left first. CJ went off on his own at one point, left WCSE, and I was kind of left at CSE without a partner. And Booby Nash had been hired to join us. I believe Booby was doing middays at the time. So they just teamed up Booby with me, and it was the Booby and Buzz show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That lasted about 6 months, I guess. Not very successful. Meanwhile, CJ had come to me and offered me a couple positions. WKTM was still rocking. And this is still, again, just before FM really took off throughout the market.
That's 102.5 FM.
Yes, 102.5 FM, WKTM. And Bill Dudley was the owner and manager of the station at the time. And Bill had approached CJ and offered CJ a pretty tidy sum to come over and do mornings. But the deal was that he wouldn't hire CJ without Buzz. And CJ had not come to the table as far as salary for me yet. So I kind of held out, and we lost the KTM gig. And then it was Sconix Broadcasting was in town. Sconix had bought WTMA and 95SX and offered CJ a job there as the operations manager of WTMA. CJ then got in contact with me and asked if I wanted to get the morning show back together again. And handed me a check if I would sign the contract right then and there. He knew exactly how to get to me. Took me a great dinner and a big check, and I said, okay, I'll do it.
So you were still working at WCSE at the time, and you came straight from CSC to TMA?
Yes.
Other than getting back with CJ again, did working at WTMA, did that mean anything to you as far as the station having a tremendous heritage in the market? Of course,
it
had changed a lot since its 60s and 70s glory days. The early 80s are kind of tough on the radio station, as all AM music stations.
Sure.
But, you know, was it kind of a neat thing to be at TMA?
Oh, it was an honor. In fact, I was constantly surprised by the number of really good broadcasters that had gone through the doors of TMA at one time or another. A lot of really good talent out there had passed through the doors. Some had even been turned down for employment there. It was a top-notch radio station.
Was the WTMA CJ and Buzz show much different than the CJ and Buzz show at WCSE?
It was a little slicker, a little faster on TMA. We never quite had the same audience that we had. We did at first, but of course FM was coming on strong at that point, and we pretty much got our hats handed to us by 95SX when they came on really powerfully. A morning guy named Steve Cochran, who was a good morning guy, really funny guy. I ended up in Chicago, as I remember it. TMA, the morning show we did there, was fun. We just had a really good time with a lot of laughs, grins and giggles. And we all had two-way radios in our vehicles. And so we were constantly, no matter where we were, even the salespeople, if there was an accident or a disturbance, something causing interference with traffic or anything, we'd stop, call in a report. So it was like instant information. We were way ahead of TV at that point. it was really fun to work there. It was exciting. At one point, we tried to build the world's largest ice cream sundae out at Folly Beach. Folly Beach is a very dangerous place for radio announcers. Not only did I live there, but I had just purchased a new pair of golf green trousers one day and had a promotion at Folly Beach and was walking down a street, and this lady comes up and grabs me by the pants pocket of my new trousers and says, "Hi, I really like you, and blah, blah, my name is blah, blah." And I said, "Great, I've got to go." And she said, "Oh, no, you're not going anywhere." And she held onto my pants pocket. And I said, "Oh, yes, I am." And I pulled really hard. She didn't let go, and she tore the whole leg off my pants.
Oh, man.
Yes, right there, Center City, Folly Beach.
Just like a rock star.
Right next to the police station. it was pretty wild. Pretty wild and crazy.
Now, did you feel the ebb of listeners going from AM to FM during your time there? I mean, could you see the writing on the wall that something's going to happen to this radio station?
Yeah, it was pretty obvious the popularity of our very own, you know, FM station 95SX at that time. Just went through the roof, and the AMs got pretty much shut down. Everybody was changing formats suddenly, trying to keep their stations afloat.
Now, what did you guys decide to leave TMA?
CJ, once again, left me. he decided he was going to go into ownership. He actually found some fool to give him a whole bunch of money to buy a bunch of radio stations. Actually, I'm sorry, first he went to Beasley Broadcasting and took over as a vice president, some kind of a vice president with Beasley Broadcasting, and went to Indiana to run a station there, and then later went to Philadelphia to Beasley's new flagship station in Philly, 92 WXTU, and ran that for quite a few years. But he left me and joined Beasley, and I stayed in Charleston, and a fellow named Charlie Cooper was doing middays at the time, and news, as I remember it. And Charlie got teamed up with me. Then it became the Charlie and Buzz show. Well, that didn't last very long. Lasted about 4 or 5 months, and Charlie was not happy with the amount of money that he was making in comparison to the amount of money that I was making. So Charlie decided to start sending out air checks and seeing if he could get us a job. And this was totally without my knowledge. One day he comes to me and says, "Well, would you like to move to Baton Rouge, Louisiana?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, here's the situation. The money is a factor and blah, blah, blah. It's a great opportunity." And I said, "Well," I'd gotten married over the course of the time, and I spoke with my wife about it, and we ended up moving to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where we were treated like kings. It was wonderful. WQXY in Baton Rouge. It was, at that point, a soft rock station. This was our first break into FM, and we really enjoyed it. It was a beautiful town, and we're right on the banks of the Mississippi, and unfortunately, Charlie had pulled a quickie on me, and the folks that hired us at WQXY in Baton Rouge thought they were getting CJ and Buzz, and instead got Charlie and Buzz. And when the owner of WQXY found out, or actually came to town, who had known CJ, met him at conventions, and wanted to meet CJ at the station, he was a little surprised not to find CJ and Charlie in his place. Anyways, we ended up losing our job there because of all that. After that, I moved my family back to Charleston, pursuing a job. New CJ was in Philadelphia. So I called up to CJ and I said, "Look, I'm not calling you asking you for a job. I'm calling just to see if you know of any opportunities out there that I could apply for." And he said he didn't know anything, but he'd get back to me if he heard of something. So it was like 3 days later, I got a phone call and it's him. And he said, "What are you doing Friday?" I said, "Nothing." And he said, "I want you to come to Philadelphia for a job interview." I said, "For what?" He said, "The morning show on 92 WXTU. And I said, "Oh, holy cow, the fourth largest market in the nation? Look, I can't just pack up and, you know, I don't have the funds to do all this travel." And he said, "I knew you'd say that." And, and he said, "The ticket's waiting for you at the airport." So he was right. I grabbed the ticket, flew to Philadelphia, interviewed with the program director, got hired to do mornings at 92 WXTU, which was Philadelphia's first country station. It was a strange operation. I worked for a fellow named Bob Young, and he and I never got along very well. But I was there for like 2.5, 3 years, and CJ went into the ownership thing at that point and bought a whole chain of radio stations, formed Jones Eastern Broadcasting, and left me in Philadelphia. Sounds like a sad story, doesn't it? Poor Buzz, he's left everywhere. But I'm actually very grateful for all this because it taught me some very valuable lessons. I'm a slow learner, but I finally got on how this business works. One day in Philadelphia, I had just come off a vacation and showed up at the radio station for the morning show, and I thought it was kind of unusual to see the manager and the program director standing in the parking lot at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, pretty bad. I got out of my car real slowly, and I said, fellas, what's going on? And the manager said, well, we've decided the morning show needs to take a different direction, and blah, 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 and here's your final check according to the union contract. I said, what? They said, yeah, goodbye. And I said, well, can I go get my belongings? No, we'll mail them to you.
Oh, man.
I said, why? I mean, you act like I'm going to do something violent here or something. I've never done anything like that. And they said, well, the new morning show is already in place, and we don't want them to see you because they're feeling bad about all this. I said, well, who's the new morning show? And he told me who it was. And we were a union station. We were members of AFTRA. It turns out my own shop steward had taken my job with her husband. I couldn't believe it. Some union.
Yeah, really?
So I was out of work again and called once again everybody that I knew, including CJ. And CJ said, well, look, I have the station in Wilmington. We need a program director. Would you be interested? I said, certainly. So moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, and programmed B100 WVBS for, I guess, about a year, and ended up being brought down to Charleston again, where we hooked up the old morning show with CJ and Bob Casey and myself at Hot 94.
Now, was that at the very beginning of Hot 94's tenure with a Top 40 station? Was
no,
that from
actually,
the very beginning?
They've been on for some time, not doing extraordinarily well. For some reason, it was the highest-profile radio station in the Charleston market. Billboards everywhere, signage, that huge station vehicle that they drove, that big orange RV, just unbelievable, and yet no ratings. And a lot of it was because of the signal. As I remember it, the tower was in like Goose Creek or something, and it was like a 3,000-watt transmitter, and we just didn't have the power to cover the market, and that hurt us a lot.
So how long were you there?
I guess I was there probably a year and a half, and then CJ decided they were going to change formats. We had been CHR, then we went to Oldies. We went to Hot Gold 94, if you remember that. I became the program director at that point, programmed the Oldies. That wasn't working either, so they decided to go urban with the station, and I was told that I was out of a job because I wasn't black. And I said, that's not fair. That's like reverse discrimination. One thing led to another, but I had no grounds for any kind of legal action, and ended up out of work once again.
What happened after the Hot 94 days?
Well, then I went to WXLY, who was then doing classic hits and owned by Bayhackle Broadcasting. This is all just prior to Hugo. In fact, I was working at 102.5, now WXLY, classic hits, when Hugo hit the Charleston market. And, anyways, after Hugo, it was only a matter of time. We got the station back on the air, new transmitter, all that kind of stuff, but because of the expense of everything, of the repairs, they needed to get rid of an employee. And, of course, the old rule was last hired, first fired. Guess who? So, once again, Buzz out of work.
Now, who was there at XLY at the time we were there? Who was the program director? I know John Casey was there at the time, right?
Good old John Casey. John was there. Yes, he was. I believe he was in a part-time capacity or something at that point. Young fellow, I can't remember his name, but he was a member of the Bayhackle family. He was like a nephew or something. He turned out to be a pretty decent program director. Ended up down in Birmingham, Alabama, programming a station there, as far as I know. But I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. But yeah, I was there. I worked with a young lady who you may remember, Patty Meeks.
Oh, yeah. She was at WCSC. She did news there for a while.
She did news there. She did news with me at WXLY. She was the news girl in the morning with me. We had a great time. And when Hugo hit, everybody was pretty much devastated by all that. But after the fourth day, we had a transmitter, and they had set up a Sparta board in the back of a U-Haul truck, and we did a radio show. This was in Mount Pleasant behind the old Channel 2 building, back in the swamp. It was pretty wild. We'd show up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to do the morning show, and there'd be cotton mouths wrapped up around the tires and the wheel wells of the truck and all kinds. It was bizarre. But we survived. We got through all that. And then, of course, I was let go. And ended up briefly going back to CJ, working there for a short bit, and then off to Fayetteville, where I went to work for Metropolitan Broadcasting as a morning guy for 103.5 WRCQ in Fayetteville, which at that point was a classic rock station, and was there for about a year, became the program director, and was there for like 4 or 5 years, went through an awful divorce, ended up pretty much homeless, and took a job in South Texas, where I worked at a 3,000-watt country station in a little town called Raymondville, which was about 15 miles from the border with Mexico. And my Spanish is awful. I could order coffee and get a kiss. That's pretty much what I could do. They brought me in as the morning guy and as a consultant to implement a new country format. It was called Album Country. It was like AOR radio, album-oriented radio, but this was with country albums. We played deeper cuts off the country albums, basically. It was an interesting format, but they didn't give it time to work, and they didn't implement it properly. They didn't have the money to do it properly. After 6 months of that, without my knowledge, they changed the format to Satellite Oldies. And once again, I'm given notice. So I was just about to get on the bus and head on back to Charleston to stay with a friend and get offered a job at the number one country station down there, KTEX, FM 100 KTEX, and jumped on the opportunity, went over there and worked for a fellow named Uncle Harvey, who was the owner of the station. Fine, fine gentleman. A little odd, but a pretty nice guy. And he basically pretty much took care of me because I was like flat broke, and it was just, you know, one of those down-and-out stories, missing my kids, gone through an awful divorce. It was just a bad situation. And there I was, a gazillion miles from friends and home. And this guy pretty much helped me out in a lot of ways, financially as well as morally and emotionally. He was a good guy, really helped me out a lot. So I was there for like 3 years, I guess. And then the budget X fell there also. And once again, last hired, first fired. And I was let go. I was offered a job at Cool in Phoenix, Arizona, as a midday jock, Cool FM, with a big oldie station in Phoenix. A lot of money, too, and I turned it down because my kids were back in Fayetteville, and I was getting further and further away from my kids, and it was killing me. I really missed my daughters. So I ended up sending a gazillion air checks back to Charleston, hoping somebody would hire me, and finally did get hired. Ron Walton was the manager of Weasel and Oldies 102.5, who was doing satellite programming at the time. They wanted to take the morning show live. So they teamed John Casey and myself up as the morning show on Oldies 102.5. We were live, pulled some pretty decent ratings, so we were right behind Weasel in the morning and did okay with adults.
Is that when Dave Michaels was program director?
Dave Michaels came later.
Okay.
Dave came about a year, 2 years later as the program director.
And is that when you left, when Dave came?
Dave and I didn't get along. I left after Clear Channel bought the place. They sent in all the consultants, and I ended up getting let go. Replaced by a fellow they owed a favor to, Murphy in the Morning. And I was unemployed for about 6 months. I sold cars for a while, or tried to, actually, working for the Nissan dealership over on Savannah Highway. Couldn't sell a car worth a lick. And I could get them laughing in the parking lot, but once I got to the desk, I'd lose them. I don't know what happened. But ended up, I got a phone call from a friend of mine in Florence who just went to work for this group of radio stations for Cumulus Broadcasting. Told me they were looking for morning guys and program directors, so I sent off an air check as a morning guy. I got a phone call from the operations manager, Steve Crumley, who said, look, I need a program director. Would you be interested? And I said, sure. He said, classic rock. And I said, sure, I love classic rock. That's what I'd done in Fayetteville. And he said, okay, terrific. And got hired, came up, and originally we were all like satellite stations. We were all in small towns. My station was in Hartsville, South Carolina, 98.5 Fox. And we eventually moved all the satellite stations to one building here in Florence, where we're at now. All the radio stations are in one large building. This is where we hang our hat now. My whole time in Charleston, first at WCSC, I am so grateful for those years. It was wonderful, a real learning experience. WTMA was like a huge feather in my hat because it was such a great radio station, and very honored to have worked there.